Hey, this summer my family and I have been watching America's Got Talent. I love that show. You know, a lot of these different shows, you know, it's like it's all singing or all something else. But I like AGT because it's different all the time. And so we've been watching it during the summer. But I remember probably about, I'm going to guess 7 years ago maybe, on America's Got Talent, a guy came out and his talent is dominoes. And what he did is he set up 50,000 dominoes on the AGT stage. And then when he had it all done, he pushed one of the dominoes and that domino made another one fall and so on and so on. And it went all over the place to where it would hit something and then all of a sudden balloons would come up and other things would come crashing down. It's just crazy. And it's interesting because when you stop to think about it, a chain of events happened because of one domino being pushed down. I want to show you, it's about a minute video I want to show you from that time, about 7 years or so ago at AGT. Take a look at this. See, isn't that amazing? That's an amazing video, but also it's amazing that what one domino can start, it's a chain reaction. It's a chain of events. And what's interesting about that is that that's how God works. And here's what I want to say. I want to show you just in one little piece of the Bible how God uses things as a chain of events. So some of you, whether you know the Bible or not, you've probably heard of a guy named Moses. Moses was a guy who was leading the Jews out of being slaves, and they took him out, and God said, I'm going to give you to a place called the Promised Land, a new place to live now, because you're not going to be slaves anymore. And so Moses was leading out. Moses died. And then another guy comes up, it's Joshua. And when Joshua comes along, he's going into the Promised Land, but he has to kind of spy it out to make sure, you know, who's living there, and there's these wicked people there, and God wants to give this land to them. And so they come to a town called Jericho. And Joshua sends out in some spies into Jericho to see how Jericho is, can we take them, all that kind of stuff. And while they're there, they get kind of found out. And a lady named Rahab hides the spies. Later on, they take over the town, and all of a sudden they've got Jericho, and they, because of Rahab protecting the spies, they let her live. And this lady, and I want you to listen to this, this lady that saved the spies, this lady was a prostitute. And you're thinking, wow, I mean, this prostitute did it a great thing to protect them. Now they got the promised land, all this kind of stuff. It's just amazing that that prostitute would do this. Can I push down another domino and show you the chain of events? Because what happens next is this. Fast forward from Rahab, the prostitute, going out quite a few years, she becomes the great-great-grandmother of somebody who had just been born named David. Little baby David is great-great-grandson to her. And this little baby David grows up to become King David. And what's interesting about that is about 1,000 years after King David is another baby that's born that is Joseph. Joseph, you might know that name. Joseph is the husband of Mary. Mary is the mother of Jesus. So let me put the dominoes together. There was a lady who probably didn't think she was much of anything. She was a prostitute, right? She probably said, I have no other way to make money, so I'm going to do the old-fashioned way, the thing that everybody's done since the beginning of time. She became a prostitute. And because of what she did to help the spies to have the promised land, Rahab became, through her lineage, came King David, and through the lineage of her and King David, Jesus came. Amazing. Can you imagine Jesus coming from the lineage of a prostitute? Amazing. But see, God can use anybody. That's what I love about God. God can use anybody. If he can use a prostitute, if he can use you, and if he can use me, he can use anybody. That's what God can do. God can use anyone on this planet. She didn't think she was special. She's like, I'm just a prostitute in Jericho. But because I saved these people, all of a sudden God honored her. A prostitute. I just love that. I love that. Let me give you a verse, and I'm going to kind of explain it. In Acts 17:26, here's what it says. It says, from one man, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. From one man, God made every nation of man. And who was that one man? It was Adam, the first person on the planet. From one man, God made every... God can use anybody to do anything. God can use you. Did you know? You probably know that. You probably know that God can use you, but do you actually believe it? Do you actually believe that God can use you to do amazing things? See, God can do that for anybody. So let me read to you. Now, this is a little bit long, but I want to read to you a writing from Paul. Paul is in the New Testament. He's writing to different people, and what he's saying is basically in this writing, he's saying that God loves to use ordinary people. In case you haven't figured it out, you're probably ordinary, and so am I. And that means God can use us. But let me read this. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's kind of almost laughable. Because what he's talking about is a body and the parts of the body. And he kind of gets a little silly on some of this. But just let me read with this and we'll kind of talk about it. Here's what it says. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now listen. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, now just picture that, right? If the whole body was just an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye, now this is where it gets kind of silly. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unprecedentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need a specific treatment. But listen to this. But God has combined the members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And if one part, now listen to this, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part is honored with it. Now, then this is where he wraps it up. Now you, meaning you and I, we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. Now let's kind of back it up and look at this. Basically what he is saying is this. He is saying that a body has different parts, but to make up the body, you need all the parts. If you just had an ear, where are you going to smell? Where are you going to eat? Where are you going to see? If you're just an eye, what are you going to hear? How are you going to walk? How are you going to do all this? You need all the pieces to make the body function. And what he is trying to say, now listen to this, let me try to bring it together. What Paul's trying to say is this. He's saying, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the body of Christ on this planet. You are the body of Christ on this planet. You are his body. In other words, what is the body of Christ on this planet? It is the church. The church is God's body. We are the church. It's not the building. It's not the chairs. We are the church. Did you know that you are the church? You are the body of Christ? So looking at what we just read about Paul talking about how we all have different functions, where maybe one of us is an eye or ear or nose and all that kind of different things, and we need each other. I want us to look at five, what I'm going to call domino principles for those who are followers of Christ. I want us to look at this, because looking at what we just read about what Paul wrote, and looking at dominoes, we're going to put these together. So here's the first thing if you're taking notes. The whole is stronger than the sum of the parts. The whole is stronger than the sum of the parts. In other words, you have a role to play. You are in the body of Christ. You are a part. You're an ear, you're an eye, you're something. God has given you something. Maybe, now listen. Maybe you're a finger, right? But if there's only a finger and there's no other body, where are you going to put your finger? You don't have any place in your nose. There's no nose to put your finger in, right? So all of a sudden, you need the other parts of the body. That is what Paul is saying. We need all of us. Not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody's the same. We all have different roles to play. And here's the thing. You may be an ear, you may be a finger, but you need all the other parts of the body. We work together. We are better. We're stronger together. The whole is stronger than the sum of the parts. That means we are all important in the church. We all have a part to play. That is what we are about. Let me give you a second thing. We each have a different role to play. You may be an ear, somebody else is an eye, somebody else is a finger, somebody else is a leg, right? We all have a different role to play. You know, some people will say, well, I want to play that role. I'd love to be in the band and play, you know, at the church, or I'd love to be doing something out in the community, or I wish I could talk like Pastor Mark, or I'm glad I can't talk like Pastor Mark, right? Whatever. But we always do things like that. We all have different goals, different things that we have to play. But so often we look at other people and we go, I wish I had that one. I wish I had that gift, that talent, that ability. I wish I had that. No. We all of us have different roles to play. In the church, listen, in the church, we need all those roles. We don't need everybody to be an eye, everybody to be a nose, everybody to be, we need differences. We need difference in the church and out in the community. We need us to use our gifts, talents, and abilities, our different ones that we have, to help the church and to be the church out into the community. This is why God has given us this ability. God wants us to be on mission with Him, and He gives us these gifts, these talents, and these abilities. Are we using them? Are we? Or do we kind of like just stuff it down and say, I don't have anything. See, we all have a different role to play. Let me give you a third one. Third one is this. Every role is critical. Every role is critical. In this chain of event where all of a sudden you push down one domino and everything starts falling. Of those 50,000 dominoes in the video that you saw just a little bit ago, in those 50,000 dominoes, how many of those were important? Or as Inslee would say, essential. How many of them were important or essential? Can I tell you? All 50. Because if you hit the first domino and it begins to fall, and all of a sudden it gets to, like, you know, domino number 10,000 and it doesn't fall, from there to 50,000, nothing's going to happen. So they're all essential. They all have to do their part. They all have to fall down for it all to work. Every role is critical. Paul writes this. He says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Again, they're essential, basically. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Why? Because every role matters. Every role matters. Can I show you something? So I brought a couple of dominoes today. With these dominoes, I don't know if you can see it well or not, but I've got one right here. This domino has six on the top and six on the bottom. So that's got, it's got 12 dots on this one. Let's say this is a person in the church, and these little dots, let's say that these little dots are an example of different gifts, talents, and abilities. We see somebody like this in the church that, man, look at all those dots. Look at all those gifts, talents, and abilities. That person can do everything. I mean, man, they're helping out in the community. They're working in the kids' area. They speak sometimes. They lead 14 different small groups. They're helping in the youth area. I mean, they're just doing all these things, right? And we look at people like that, and we get kind of envious, right? Because we're over here, and we're going, you know, I don't have anything on mine. Oh no, I got one. I got one gift, talent, or ability. I mean, so we kind of get envious, right? Because I've only got one, and this person over here's got like a gazillion. Man, I wish I could have those gift, talents, abilities, right? But can I tell you, the simple thing is that every role is essential, is critical. Everyone is. Because when you're looking at these dominoes, doesn't matter if you have one or you got 12, every one of them has to fall down to be able to keep the chain of events moving forward. What is the chain of events? It's God's mission. It's how God uses different people to help a certain person to actually know that God exists, that God loves them, that God wants a relationship with. It may not just be one person, it may be different people. We are all essential. Every role is critical. Yes, somebody may have a whole bunch and you may only have one, but that one you're going to do awesome at because God gave you what he knows you need. Let me give you another thing. Number four, we're dependent on each other. In that video, the dominoes were dependent on each other. One has to knock down the other. Did you know that in the church, we're not dominoes, we're people, but we also in the church, we are dependent on each other. We're dependent on each other. We need one another. I need your gifts. I need your gifts. And it sounds weird, but some of you probably need some of my gifts. Can I tell you, I'll just be real honest with you. When it comes to gifts, I know some of my gifts that I have, but I also know some of the gifts I do not have. And I'm going to tell you, compassion is not a strong gift for me. Some of you, oh man, you got compassion dripping out of your ears and your eyes and your nose and everything else. I mean, that's what God gave you, right? That's good. God gives us different gifts, talents, and abilities to be able to use on his mission, to be on mission with him. See, if we all had the exact same, then the rest of us wouldn't be needed. That's why God has different gifts for different people, for us to be able to use our gifts, our talents, and our abilities for God's mission. We're all needed. God wants to use each and every one of us. Now, let me give you a verse talking about how we're dependent on each other. In the Old Testament, there's the book called Esther, and I would highly recommend that you read the book of Esther. You can probably read it within, I'm going to say, maybe 20 minutes, maybe a half hour at the most. It's a short book, but here's the story. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase it. There's a lady, Esther, that is a Jew, and long story short, she basically becomes the queen, okay, to the king. One of her relatives gets word that the guy right below the king is going to try to kill all the Jews. This relative comes to Esther and says, "Esther, you got to do something about this." And she's like, I don't want to say anything because if I bring the attention to the king, the king could kill me. If I say anything wrong, I mean, it's known before he's killed other wives. I don't want to do that. I'm kind of scared. And look at what her relative said. Now listen to this. He said this. He said to her, he goes, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." In other words, God's going to take care of us either way. "But you and your father's family will perish." And then listen to this last line. "And who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Can I tell you, has God given you gifts, talents, abilities for such a time as this? Has God given you gifts, times, and ability, gifts, talents, and abilities for you to use now in your life on this planet to help other people, to reach other people? And if he has, are you using them? Are you doing them? Or are you just kind of like pushing it aside and say, "Nah, I just want to do my own thing"? You see, God's heart is that we would depend on each other. We would need each other. And we would be on mission with God using the gifts, talents, and abilities that he has given us. But let me give you the last thing. Last thing is this. God brings the body to life. It is God that brings the body to life. For the video that you watched just a little bit ago with the dominoes, The guy took a bunch of dead dominoes just sitting in a box, and he orchestrated them, 50,000 of them, so that when he hit the very first domino, it started a chain reaction. In other words, it brought everything to life. Did you know that a dead body and a live body have the exact same things? They both have two ears, two hands, two feet, eyes, everything has all of that. But it is God who brings it to life. God wants his church to be alive. God wants you and I to be on mission with him, with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he has given to you and I. See, God is the one who brings the body to life, to say it's time for mission, to do what I've put inside you to do. You are on this planet for a purpose and for a reason. And it's not just to make money and have good times. That's part of it, yes. But the overarching is we are part of the mission of Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to do. 1 Corinthians 12:18, God arranged the members in the body. He's done that in the church. He's put us in which churches we should be. He's given us different talents and abilities to use in the church and outside of the church to be used together. God brings it together. Philippians 2 says this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to, say this with me, fulfill his good purpose. God works in us to fulfill his purpose. So let me ask you a question. What's the biggest obstacle preventing you from becoming the person God wants you to be? What's the biggest obstacle that's preventing you from becoming the person God wants you to be? Could it possibly be this? Could it possibly be that you've fallen into what I call the loser syndrome? The loser syndrome? See, a lot of times we think we're losers. We just look at our one little talent, then we look at everybody else and go, man, they're talented. I'm just a loser. I'm just one. I don't have 12. I'm just a loser. Do you come to the point to where you think you're not smart enough? Not rich enough? Not talented enough? Not spiritual enough to make a difference for God? Can I tell you, God has put within you what you need to do. He's given you the gift, the talent, and the ability. Some of you would say, you know, if I only had been dealt a better hand, I could have done more, right? That's what a lot of times we think, you know, maybe if I could have just done better, you know, if I had a better hand, maybe I had a tough childhood, parents were divorced, I'm a single mom, I didn't go to college. You know, we have so many excuses. I've got different health issues. I mean, we have so many excuses. But can I tell you, even all the struggles and all the cracks in our lives that we all deal with, God still gives us gifts, talents, abilities, and still wants us to be part of the mission. He wants you and I to be part of that. He's offering it. He's leaving it, saying, I want you to be part of my mission. Oh, can I just remind you of something? If you feel like you're that loser syndrome, you know, oh, can I just remind you, God doesn't make losers. You may feel like you're a loser, but can I tell you, God doesn't make losers. He doesn't. You know what God does? God doesn't call the equipped. You know what he does? He equips those he calls. He equips those he calls. He doesn't go, hey, those people seem to be equipped. They have all the gifts, talents, abilities already. I'm going to call them. He didn't do that. He says, I'm going to take ordinary, average people, and I'm going to then equip them, and I'm going to call them into my mission. And that's the call that he's giving you and I right now today. Right now, today. So how do we apply this message? I mean, I love it because God uses ordinary people. I mean, think about this. Think about this. God used a little shepherd boy named David to kill a great big giant called Goliath. Jesus, when he's starting his earthly ministry, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees this guy named Peter, who is a fisherman. He calls him to be part of his disciples. And then when Jesus dies, rises again, and leaves the planet, who does he leave the church's hands into? It's Peter. Peter's the one that's now over the church back then. It's amazing. A fisherman. God took a fisherman and put him over the church. God took a little shepherd boy to kill a giant to become King David and have the lineage of Jesus Christ to come through. God can use anybody. I mean, I'm proof. If God can use me, God can use you. Amazing. So how do we apply this message? Well, let's do this. What if all of us this week looked for opportunities to help people? Find somebody, just one person. Find one person that you could help somehow this week. And when you help them, tell them why you're helping them. Tell them that, hey, you know, I love God and I feel like God's having me to help you. What if you were to just do that? What if we just randomly, all of us, look for somebody that we know or somebody we don't know? Maybe it's out on the street somewhere, but somebody that needs help. What if we help them and told them why and just say, hey, God loves you? We don't have to preach. We try to help people. You know, another way that you can also apply this on our website at c3tricities.com. If you were to go there, one of our drop-down menus, you're going to see serve, and you can find places to actually use your gifts, talents, and abilities to serve in the church, or right now with the church being done, you can still do stuff in the church, but it's going to be more out in the community is where it'd be. We have community agencies that we have a whole bunch with that we do a lot. You can be a part of that. You can use your gift, talents, abilities there or in the church. There's multitudes. God just says, do something. Use these gifts, talents, abilities that I've given you to be on the mission, the most important mission that ever has been in the history of the world. He's inviting you and me to be part of it. Amazing. Let's pray. So Father, right now we pause. And I am so thankful that you allow us with our sin, with our struggles, with our problems, with the fractures in our life and the things that we deal with, God. You love us and you call us to be on mission with you, and you've given us different gifts, talents, and abilities. And I am so thankful. And I pray for right now, everyone who's listening to this message, whether it's live or whether it's later as a video, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help them to understand if they are a follower of Jesus, they have gift, talents, abilities that you've already placed within them for them to use on this planet. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to look for those opportunities and to use those things that you have put within us to do. Father, I thank you for that. I pray for those right now that are saying, you know, I want to know Christ, but I am not there yet. So, Lord, I pause right now and I pray for those that are on this online stream. And I ask this, Lord, I ask that you would forgive them of their sins as they call out on you and they ask for your forgiveness and they ask for you to be so close and to help them with their struggles and their problems and their issues. And Lord, I thank you because I know when they ask for that, you say yes, and you come running and you love them. And I'm so thankful for that. So Lord, I pray for those that are making that decision. Help them to understand that this is just the beginning, not the end, of a brand new relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Real quick, today, if you said yes to Jesus, please text the word Jesus to the number on your screen, and I'll be sending you Monday through Friday of this week some videos, about a couple 3 minutes videos Monday through Friday to help you understand what your relationship with Jesus is all about. Thank you for being here today.